Korach, Parshas Korach, Parsha of Machlokes. Vayikach, first Parsha begins with the Yichus of Korach. What is the Yichus of Korach? Vayikach Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kos ben Levi Dosan Vavidam ben Eliyah v'Oyim ben Peles ben Reuven. What does Rashi comment on the very first Rashi regarding the Yichus? The Yichus of Korach. Parsha zu yofa nedreshes. Vayikach Korach lokach es atzmai. It says here that he took himself l'sadechad. Let's go a little further. That's not the point. The next Rashi. Ben Yitzhar ben Kos ben Levi v'loy hiskir ben Yaakov. We do not mention over here that Korach was ben Yaakov. Why? Shebikesh rachamim al atzmai shelo yizocher shmoi al machlu koisam. Because Korach was mispalel, Yaakov Avinu was mispalel that his name should not be mentioned in reference to the machlokes. Shenemar, it says in the end of Bereishis, in the brachos that Yaakov Avinu he gave to his children before he died, bikolam al techad kivaydi, in their assembly, my honor should not be united. Period. So he's not mentioned. So the question over here is, what is exactly the deeper meaning of this desire of Yaakov Avinu that he should not be mentioned in the machlokes of Korach? You can't run away from history. You can't run away. You can't rewrite history. If these are your children, you have to accept responsibility. That's the way life goes. These are the children of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu has these children. Korach is his child. Why is Yaakov Avinu over here choosing that he should not be mentioned in this machlokes? It's your mess. Come and clean up after it. If you get a call from the principal's office that your child is not behaving, what are you going to do? You're going to go and you're going to say, oh, you know, I'm not proud of my child. Whoever told you that I'm his father? Whoever gave you my telephone number? He's not my child. When a person has a child, they're your child, whether you like it or not. You don't have the choice, the ability to disown your children. How then can Yaakov Avinu be mispalel b'kaholam al techad kivaydi? And what about all the other people in Klal Yisrael who made the terrible averos? What about the people who worship the eagle? What about the meraglim? What about we have along the ten nisyonos, the people who complain to Moshe Rabbeinu, they don't want the man and they're tired. Nafsheinu katz b'loch ma'kalog alazeh. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on. What about Micha, Pesel Micha? You want to go talk about people who do not want to associate with Yaakov Avinu, people who have done terrible averos. Why is it only in regard to Korach does Yaakov Avinu so concerned that his name should not be mentioned with this assembly? What's this all about? So the answer is has to be something along these lines. The only time a parent has the right to say, you are not my child, don't mention my name, don't put my name together with you, is only when first the child says to the parent, parent, you're not my father, I don't want to know from you. If a child says to a father, I don't want to know from you. I don't care for you. Get lost. You're not my father. You're not my daddy. I don't want to know from you. Then the father can say, if that's the case, you want to reject me. You don't want to acknowledge who I am. I brought you into this world. Okay. So you know what? The feeling is mutual. I don't want to know from you. Get lost. You're not my child either. If you have a situation where a child is in trouble, you know, in school, and he does something horrible, so what does he say? He tells the principal, call my father. My father will come save me. Call my father. Call my parents. My parents will be there. The child is arrested, call my parents. They'll bail me out. They'll put up $1 million bail no matter what I did. My father, he'll help me. The child acknowledges, this is my father. A father can never, ever run away. Even if his child did the worst possible avera, the father has to be there to support his child. It's your product, it's your blood, it's your flesh, basar, your bones, you don't have a choice. But if the child says to the father, who are you? Get lost. I don't even know who you are. Then the father will say, you know something? You don't want to acknowledge that I'm your father? I don't want to acknowledge that you're my child. Koirach, before this parsha begins, or really this parsha begins, Rashi basically tells us, and the Medrash tells us, that Koirach rejected Yaakov Avinu. Why do I say that? So let's take a step back and appreciate the following principle. Yadus, we have really two sets of ancestors that we look up to. Mitzad Echa, we look up to the Ovis. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Every single day when we daven Shemoneh Esrei, we say, okay, Avraham, okay, Yitzchak, okay, Yaakov. Mitzad Sheni, we look up to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe is the one that is responsible for taking us out of Mitzrayim. It is Moshe Rabbeinu that is responsible for giving us the Torah in Har Sinai. And we look to Moshe as our teacher, Moshe Rabbeinu. But Moshe Rabbeinu does not replace Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they gave us the Midos, our character traits, and they solely are responsible for us coming into Eretz Yisrael. Hashem promised Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov Eretz Yisrael. Lech lecha me'artzcha me'malatcha me'besavich l'aretz ha'sha'areka. It was Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a shvua to each one separately. I am giving you the holy land. This is your land. You are the ones. Hashem promised the land to Klal Yisrael, and Hashem took a shavua to each one of them separately that He will give them the land. Korach, when he starts his rebellion, Rashi tells us half the Medrash. He presents two major arguments to mock Moshe Rabbeinu and to sway public opinion in his favor. The first strategy of Korach was to use tzitzis. Rashi elaborates in very great detail. Korach took the tzitzis. He took a talis shekula tchelas, and he presents it to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he says, Moshe, here's a talis. Tell me, what is the halacha? Is this talis that is 100% tcheles, is it obligated in the mitzvah of tzitzis? And Moshe Rabbeinu says, yes, it is. Korach then says, it's ridiculous. If you have a garment that's white and you attach to it a little chut, a chut of tcheles, the mitzvah has been fulfilled. The mission has been achieved. Alachas kama v'kama, if you have a garment that's kula tcheles, the mitzvah, the requirement, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us should be fulfilled. And with that argument, everyone began to laugh. Rashi says, they began to laugh and to mock Moshe Rabbeinu, and he was able to sway public opinion. He was able to mock Moshe and say that the mitzvahs that Hashem has given us do not make any sense. And then we have another story that's brought down in Chazal. The story is where Moshe Rabbeinu, where Korach, he comes to Moshe Rabbeinu and he says, tell me, if you have this room, and this room is filled, it's packed with Sifrei Torah. You fill the entire room with Sifrei Torah. Are you obligated to put on the front door a mezuzah? And Moshe Rabbeinu says, of course you are. Korach begins to laugh and says, what? If you have an empty room and you put on the outside on the doorpost a parasha, a little mezuzah that has two parashas, Shema and the Hoyom Shemaya, you mekayim the mitzvah. Allah, so the mission has been achieved. How much more so has the mission been achieved if you have a room that's filled, packed from top to bottom with Sifrei Torah? And with that, again, people began to laugh. There was sechoik, and Korach prevailed. He swayed public opinion, and he damaged Moshe Rabbeinu's standing in Klal Yisrael. So, according to the Medrash, there were basically two arguments, two, very specifically, two separate mitzvahs which he used to win public opinion. Number one was the mezuzah, and number two was tzitzis. What do tzitzis and mezuzah have in common? And the answer is Eretz Yisrael. We learned last week was the parsha of the Meraglim. The Meraglim was sent the Asurus Eretz Canaan to look at the land, to look for the good in the land, to see the bracha of the land. And the Meraglim come back and they say horrible, nasty Lashon Hara, lies and exaggerations, and they reject Eretz Yisrael. It's clear as day that the antidote to the Lashon Hara of what the Klal Yisrael, what they spoke, what the Meraglim spoke about Eretz Yisrael, was the mitzvah of tzitzis. And that's because in the mitzvah of tzitzis, we used exactly the same language. Do not be misled, just like Moshe Rabbeinu told them the words V'yosuru es Eretz Kanan. It's exactly the same word, and thus it's clear as day that the mitzvah of tzitzis is the antidote. When you look in the land, when you look at Eretz Yisrael, look for the spirituality. Tcheles is daima liyam, yam is daima lirukiyah, lirukiyah is daima to the kisya kovit. When you look at the tzitzis, don't just look at the color. Look deep. Look very deep. Let your mind explore. Let your mind wander to greater, higher values and higher she'ifos of spirituality until you come to the Kisya Kovit. When you look at Eretz Yisrael, don't just look at the Jerusalem stone and debate, is the color, is it red enough? Is it too much of a, too light? Don't go look at the tiles and look at the politics and look at the bickering and look at all of the issues. Look beyond that. You look at the blue, it reminds you of the yam, and the yam takes you to the rakia, and the rakia to the kisya kovid. When you look at Eretz Yisrael, you have to look beyond. You have to look at the brach. It is the antidote to Eretz Yisrael. That's clear as day. That's one of the mahalchim of tzitzis. There are many mahalchim in tzitzis, but it's one of the mahalchim. It's the antidote to the chashivus, the appreciation of Eretz Yisrael. What is mezuzah? What does it say in the mezuzah? The last pasuk of the mezuzah. Leman yirbdu, all of the things that I wrote to you in the mezuzah. V'mekabel ol malchus shamayim. Put on tefillin. Put on, have a mezuzah on your doorstep. And you shall love Hashem b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshcha v'chol miyodecha. Why? What's the gemar? What's the last, the finale, the summary of the mitzvah of the mezuzah? Leman yirbu yimeichem v'imei v'neichem al ho'adama asher nishba Hashem lavoseichem lo seis lohem. So you should live long on the adama, on Eretz Yisrael. The goal of the mitzvah of mezuzah is to recognize Eretz Yisrael. You shall live a long life in Eretz Yisrael. A bayis, a home, a person has a home, a person's home. You should carve out for yourself in golos, in chutz li'aretz, space, a mokoim that has the kedushas ha'aretz. If the mezuzah is on your doorpost, which leads into your home, and in the mezuzah it says, l'man yibu yimechem v'mei v'nechem al ho'adama, that's basically telling you that the Adama in your home, in Golos, is a chelik of Eretz Yisrael. Carve out in the middle of Golos a bayis, a mokoim, which has kedushas ha'aretz. It's not Eretz Yisrael, of course. You have to go live the full scope, of course, in Eretz Yisrael. But in the meantime, until we come to Eretz Yisrael, in the meantime, you have to at least carve out this temporary mokoim. Rashi says, practice this, so that when you come to Eretz Yisrael, you'll know what it's all about. Make for yourself the chashivas of Eretz Yisrael. Now we explained before in our summary of our loyalty to our ancestors. We are we are loyal, we look back to two leaders, to Moshe Rabbeinu and to the others. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov is one set of ancestors which we look up to, which we daven every day, we mention them in the Shemona Esrei, and Mitzad Sheni, we look back to Moshe Rabbeinu as our teacher. And we also mentioned that the unique gift that is only connected to the Avos is Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is something that we have from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, not from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu gave us the Torah. He taught us how to live in Eretz Yisrael. But the land was given to us from the Mesorah of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The Rambam does not even list in the minyan of the Taryag mitzvahs, the 613 mitzvahs, the mitzvah of the Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And many Zionists go meshuggah. They literally are losing their mind. How can the Rambam, the Halakha Rambam, the hero of Klal Yisrael, how could he not list the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael as one of the 613 mitzvahs? How could you live, how could you be a religious Zionist and acknowledge that the Rambam doesn't want to count Yishuv Eretz Yisrael as a mitzvah? And in fact, all of the other Rishonim, they strongly take issue with the Rambam, and they say, the Rambam, you got it all wrong. It is one of the Taryag mitzvahs. The Ramban says, I doesn't understand what's going on with the Rambam. Of course, living in Eretz Yisrael is the Kim Deraisa of one of the 613 mitzvahs. And one of the popular answers which really resonates with me is that the Rambam, when he begins his list of the Taryag mitzvahs, he says, these are the mitzvahs that were given to us by Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm only listing mitzvahs that come from Moshe. Eretz Yisrael is above that. Eretz Yisrael comes to us from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Eretz Yisrael is in a league by itself. It's above and beyond the Taryag mitzvahs. The Taryag mitzvahs is how to conduct yourself in the land. But who gave us the land? The land was given to us by Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Hashem gave Meshvuah to each one of them separately to give them the land. Now, taking all that into consideration, now we can fully appreciate our question. What was our question? We started off there with the question, why is it that Yaakov Avinu, when he's about to die, he gathers his children around him. Obviously, he sees with Ruach HaKodesh the entire history of the Jewish people, and he sees a lot of problems. He sees a lot of sin. He sees all of the Avodah Zarah and all of the Sinas Chinam, every Avera in the book he sees in front of him. But there's only one particular sin that irritates Yaakov Avinu on his deathbed to such a degree that he says, those people that are involved in this sin, I'm not your daddy. Don't call me your daddy. I'm not your... Who are they? Korach. Korach, you went, you made a machloikis. Don't go associate. I don't want to be associated with you. Oh, and what about the Meraglim? If you were to stop Yaakov Avinu right then and there on his deathbed and say, would you like your name to be associated with the Meraglim? It's okay, yeah, you can put my name down. And what about those who worship the Egel? It's okay, you can put my name down. And what about Tesel Micha? It's okay. And what about all the wicked kings, all the Rishoyim that did the worst Averis in the book for the last 3,000 years? It's okay. I'm responsible. Listen, I brought them into the world. I can't escape reality. I can't rewrite history. I can't make up new birth certificates that don't exist. They're my children. Afal Yisrael Shechata. Afal Pi Shechata Yisrael. They're my children. No, they didn't turn out the way I wanted. What am I going to do about it? That's life. They're my children. But Korach, you're the exception. Don't tell them that I'm your father, because I'm not. What? What's going on over here? The answer is, like we said, the only time a parent can say to a child, I'm not your father, is when the child first says to the parent, you're not my daddy. You get lost. When a child rejects his father, then the father can reject the child. the one who rejected Yaakov Avinu more than anyone else in this world was Korach. Our connection to Eretz Yisrael comes only from Yaakov Avinu, only from Klal Yisrael. That's where we come from. Our connection to Eretz Yisrael only comes from the Ovis, from the Ovis. And for Korach to take the two mitzvahs, which are symbols of Eretz Yisrael, tzitzis, the antidote to the Meraglim sinned, knew they sinned, they said bad things about Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov can deal with that. But when you take the refuah for criticizing Eretz Yisrael, and you use that as a tool to mock, to destroy Klal Yisrael, and when you take the mezuzah, which tells you all of the principles of Yadlis, which concludes, Leman Yirbu Yimeichem Vimei Vinechem Al Ho Adama, which describes, make your bias into a miniature Eretz Yisrael while you're in Golas. You take the gift that I have given Klal Yisrael and you use my gift as a tool for your agenda. Rabbi Sai. Shalom Aleichem. You hear me?
You're back now.
Backup, okay? It's always good to have a backup. Okay, backup system is now running. Here we go. So you can hear, I assume everyone can hear me. Is that okay? Is that correct? Mark, you can hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Backup system is on. And when you take the tool of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you take his tool and you abuse it, let me just get out of my thing. It's fine. When you take the tool that I've given you and you abuse it, then it's a whole different story. Then Yaakov Avinu says, you have rejected me. You have rejected me by rejecting Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, I reject you. That's the fundamental difference. The chutzpah of Korach to make a machloikis by taking two items which purely represent the gift of the Ovos to Klal Yisrael, to use that as a wedge to achieve your arrogance, you have rejected me, I reject you. All the other Averis that we find in the history of Klal Yisrael, we don't find everyone rejecting Eretz Yisrael. We find people doing Avodah Zarah, even the Meraglim who spoke Lashon Hara, knew they had Yetzirah. Tzitzis is the antidote. It's the antidote to the medicine, what to use to appreciate Eretz Yisrael. And you take the medicine, it's like you're adding to the Meraglim. That's much worse than the Meraglim. To take the mezuzah, which represents Leman Yirbu Yimechem, to live Yimei V'nechem Al Ho Adama, to live upon the land that Hashem promised, the Ovos, which I'm giving over to you, and you take that as a tool to go and destroy Klal Yisrael, I don't want to know from you. Because I, Yaakov Avinu, my legacy to Klal Yisrael is Eretz Yisrael. You want to reject it? You want to have nothing to do with me? Then I want to have nothing to do with you. That is the depth, that is the importance of why his name here is not mentioned. I want to go further to mention that this parish has been played out in front of our eyes against the backdrop of another week of Mishigas. Every week the Mishigas gets more and more. Where now the BLM movement have decided the riots already are it's boring for them. Statues. Oh, the new target to take down all of the statues all over the country. They write, it's out in the street. The word in the street is that the mayor's wife, who is an African American, who is a black, who is a colored person, it's out in the streets, even the newspaper online. It will be her decision what we will do with the statues in New York City. If we will let them remain, whatever is left, if they will remain in place or they will be pulled down by chains. She will make the decision. She is the czar on these symbols of the founding fathers of the country of the United States of America. Okay, these statues, you know, in elementary school they taught us that this country was established by the founding fathers. The Avos, lahavdil elef alfei avdolos, from the Avos HaKedoshim. Every day in Shemon Esher we say Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, v'Elokei Yaakov. And in this country, the United States of America, which has brought to the world bracha, prosperity, life, freedom, the freedom of religion. Where did you ever have freedom of religion for the last 200 years? You can daven in any shul you want. You can do whatever you want. Freedom of religion, this is unheard of in world history. Prosperity, safety net, pensions, social security, all the maifsim that we talk about all the time. Who established this country? Who made this all possible? A group of people who lived in a very different time, a very different world. They planted the roots, they created this country, and as a token of appreciation, years ago there were people who spent years and years of their life and effort to put up symbols as an expression of Hakoras Hatoiv for what they have created. Columbus, he discovered this land. You have Tainis, he lived in a different time. Crazy Meshuggah. People invested enormous effort to express Hakoras Hatoiv for establishing a country where you can live and have prosperity and have blessing. These are the Avos, lahavdil elef alfei avdolos, of Klal Yisrael. And what have these people done? They've said to the founding fathers, to George Washington, to Christopher Columbus, who discovered this land, to Abraham Lincoln, who freed the slaves, to Jefferson, and to go along the whole long list, you know the names a lot better than me. And they said to them, who gives a hoot about you? We hate you. We have hatred, just venom for society, for mankind. We're going to be mivaze you. We're going to be mivaze the Avos. The Avos. They have rejected. They, BLM, have rejected their father. They have rejected where they come from. They have rejected the founding fathers, the one who has given them everything that they have. Rejected. So you know what they say to them in the other world, these people? You don't want to know from us. We don't want to know from you. We don't want to know from you. Lahavdil elef alfei havdolos. Korach said to Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov! Who was Korach really fighting with Moshe Rabbeinu? Korach was an arrogant balgaiva, the grestel of balavera. Rashi says it all when he says sechoik. Klal Yisrael, when you learn Torah, Chazal say v'hoidatem levonecha ulevenei vonecha yoyim asher amarta lefnei Hashem alokecha b'choyreif. And Chazal say, just like when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Torah, it was be'ema, be'yira, b'reses, b'zeya. It was given in a state of trepidation, fear. There was thunder and lightning. Klal Yisrael's neshamos departed due to the intensity of the pachad of HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming down to this world to give them Torah. When you learn a daf gemara, be'ema, be'yira, b'reses, b'zeya. I used to learn sometimes in a base medrash of a chassidish base medrash. To a certain tikkufa, I was during the day in the place, and it always bothered me. I never liked it, but I appreciate it now. Chassidim, when they learn with their hats and their bekishes on. They learn. They put on like the davening. They wear a bekisha and they put on a big hat and they sit and learn. The litvaks, we take off our jackets, open up your tie, roll up your sleeves. I never in my life learned a piece of gemara with my hat on. And I take off my jacket most of the time also because I'm hot. I don't wear every. If I wear my jacket, it's only because I'm cold or because Derech Eretz, if I'm learning in front of a tzibur, I'm giving a shir for Derech Eretz for the tzibur, you wear a jacket, should have got covered for the tzibur. But because of the Gemara? Eh. But Hasidim, when they learn Gemara, that's their Mesorah. They put on their hats. Why? It's a pasuk. Just like Torah was given in the state of trepidation, when you learn Gemara, Torah, you have to be in the frame of mind of Yiras Haroimimus. The Rashi here in the beginning of the parasha says it all. Korach, he comes to Moshe Rabbeinu with a shaila. You go to the rabbi. You go to the rabbi, I have a shaila. Is this door chayv in a mezuzah? How many times rabbis get that question today? Today, the very easy question, because today, the balabatim, they come with pictures. You don't have to come to the house. You take a picture of the doorpost, you show the rabbi, and you ask the rabbi, is the chayv in a mezuzah? Where do I put the mezuzah? You have a shayla on a beggar, you bring the rabbi, is the tzitzis kosher? This is Torah. And what do you Torah deserves be'ema, be'yira, be'reses. And what does it say in Rashi? Sechoik. Sochak. They made a mockery. They were laughing. They were making litzanas. This is the greatest avera. To take a halachic question, when you present a halachic question to a rabbi, and when the rabbi gives you the answer, you mock him. You mock him. There is no greater zilzul in Kavod HaTorah, in Moshe Rabbeinu, than what they have done to Moshe. But it wasn't only Moshe. There's a double whammy. We mentioned there are two ancestors that we look up to. We look up to Moshe, and we look up to the others. They took the Torah of Moshe, which was meant to teach us how to live in Eretz Yisrael. They took two of the halachas that Moshe taught us, and they selected two that relate to the gift that Hashem has given to Klal Yisrael through the Avos, and Korach rejected the Avos as well. They rejected the law of the land, and they rejected the land. Last week, BLM rejected the law of the land. This week, they rejected the land. It's playing out mamish. Hashem is showing us something. You look at the parasha. Ha-feich-ba, de-kula-ba. Korach rejected Moshe Rabbeinu and Avoseinu HaKidoshim. Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. He rejected Moshe Rabbeinu by laughing, mocking the halacha, mocking the law. And he rejected the land by selecting laws that are unique, uniquely express the chashivus and the chavivus of Eretz Yisrael. What we're seeing in front of us is extremely frightening. We're seeing a group of people who are being encouraged. It's not just them. They're encouraged. It's the shock. Who asked the mayor to put up a mural in the middle of the city? Who asked you? Who's asking you? Who asked you to go paint it? You see the picture, what it looks like to write on the street? To write on massive street. To go write, and if I would take a can of spray paint and go outside on Ocean Avenue and spray even one drop of spray paint on the gutter, they would call the police, they would arrest me, lock me up, and no one would be able to get me out of jail for who knows how long. And here the mayor, his wife and daughter, they want, it should say, spray paint on the gutter, words which are offensive to this country. Who asked you? You're a criminal. This is illegal to go spray paint the street. You have a law, you have a right to do this? Taxpayer money, which of course also? And what is it all? It's a rejection of the land, of the people, to take down the statues, the symbols of the people who have given you everything that you have. You're rejecting your avos, the founding fathers. So you know what the answer is? You reject us, we reject you. These people have to be rejected. There's no excuse. It's mamish. Yaakov Avinu is mispalel. I don't want to have anything to do with these people. If these people don't want to have anything to do with me, then I don't want to have anything to do with you. If you want to have what to do with me, I love you. You're my children. There's nothing I can't rewrite history. You're my children. You can do the Chet HaEgel. You can even the Meraglim who did terrible things to Eretz Yisrael. And all the Avodah Zarah and all the Lashon Hara and every Avera in the book, Yaakov Avinu says, it's okay. Hey Osvu, V'yagidu Lechem, it's okay, you're my children. Yisrael Shechoto, Avabi Shechoto Yisrael. But if one of my children here says, I don't want to know from you, that's already different. You don't want to know from me? I am Eretz Yisrael. It was to the Avos that Hashem gave Eretz Yisrael. You don't want to know from Eretz, you want to mock Eretz Yisrael, the mezuzah l'man yirbu yimeichem v'imei v'neichem al ho'adama. That's the summary. That's the last pasuk of the mezuzah. It summarized the tafkid of serving Hashem is to live in the land. You want to mock the refuah of how to look at the beauty of Eretz Yisrael. Oh, I'm not your daddy, you're telling me? So you know what? That's right, you're not my child. Get out of here, get lost. And mamish, we're watching in front of our eyes the horror of what's going on. It's bad enough what they do, but for lawmakers, for politicians to condone and to encourage is beyond belief. It's mamish, it's beyond belief, and it's frightening. This is something which we really have to think very deeply. What is going on here? There's something very, very scary. All right, let's go on to a new idea. This week's parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu gets upset. He gets very upset. And how does he respond? He tells Hashem, you know something? Pull out the big guns. I want the earth to open up, swallow these people up alive, and then close. This is like the real deal, the real show. So let me ask you a question. This is not the first time Klal Yisrael made trouble. They've been making a lot of trouble all along. All along there's been a lot of trouble. Why all of a sudden now does Moshe resort to extreme measures? He's nuking them. He's taking out the football, punching in the codes. He's nuking them. I mean, last week, I mean, what about the Egel? What about the Meraglim? He didn't go and say, where's the football? I want to nuke you. He said, are you talking? I can't hear. Are you talking to me, Mark? I can't hear you.
Oh, I was just saying really to myself, you really answered the question with your prior Dvar Torah.
Okay, you're right, because the Ovis, it's true. You're saying that's true, that's right. But let's have another element to this question, another element. Last week, there was a terrible sin. In fact, last week's sin appears to be worse. The Meraglim, the whole purpose is to go to Eretz Yisrael. They come back, they reject the land. And Moshe Rabbeinu, he's very tolerant of what's going on. There are consequences. You're going to die. Not today. You'll live out your life. You'll live out a long life. You'll die. But you're just not going to be going into Eretz Yisrael. Here he takes drastic measures. The answer lies in one word. There's one difference of word between the way the Jews rebelled in Parshas Shlach versus the way they rebelled in Parshas Korach. In Parshas Shlach, in Palestinians versus Parshas Korach, Korach rises up and he says, "Vayikumu lefnei Moshe va'anoshim b'nei Yisrael." Next pasuk, "Vayikalu," and they say the following words: "Rav lochem Moshe, enough of you." Everyone here is holy. Hashem is everywhere. Umadua tisnasu bikahal al hakal Hashem. Madua. What does that word mean, madua? Why? Madua. Let's go back to Parsha Shlach. Parsha Shlach, they come back and they cry, they weaken the hearts of Klal Yisrael. And they complain. And then they say to Moshe, Vilomo Hashem mevi oisanu elo oritz hazois. Lomo. Not Lama. Lama, why? Why did Hashem bring us to this land that we should die? Nosheinu v'tapeinu yiyu lovaz. Haloi tov lanu shuv mitzrayimah. Question is, why in Parsha Shelach, when the Jewish people wanted to sin, did they select the word Lama? And in this week's Parsha, Korach's slogan began with the word Madua tisnasu al kahal Hashem. What's the difference between Lama and the word Madua? To answer this question, let us look at the Haggadah. In the Haggadah is all about questions, right? It's She'ela U'tshuva. How does the Haggadah begin? Ma nishtana halayla zeh mikol halaylois. She'bechol halaylois anochlim chametzu matzah. Why does the child say, why don't you ask the child back to him? The next time the child asks you that question, why did you select the word ma? Ma comes from the word lama. It's the same word, lama. Why don't you say to me, Madua halayla hazeh? Why? Madua halayla hazeh? Why is this night different, mikol halaylos? Mishuna mikol halaylos. Why is the ma nishtana, why do we use the word ma versus the word madua halayla hazeh? The answer is a very big difference between the word ma and madua. The word ma is why, but it's a type of why, of ma, where if you don't have an answer, it's fine. It's okay. It's okay. I'm willing to continue life as normal even if you don't have an answer to my question. The connotation of the word madua is, if I don't get an answer to my question, then I will take action. Things will change. Moshe Rabbeinu, kol hakal kulam kedoshim v'seichem Hashem. Umadua. Why then tisnasu al kahal Hashem? If you don't give me an answer, then you know what? We quit. You're no longer the king. You're no longer our leader. We're going to replace you in a second with someone better than you because you don't know the answers. If Klal Yisrael would have come to Moshe Rabbeinu and they would have said, Lama tisnasu al kahal Hashem, then the connotation will be, it's not fair. Why are you the leader and not Korach? But even though it's not fair, we still have faith in you. You are Moshe Rabbeinu. We don't understand everything in this world. We have a right to ask. We're encouraged to ask. We should ask. And there may be a little resentment if we don't get a good answer, but nothing's going to change. We give you our words that we have emuna pshuta in you, in Hashem. It bothers us. It's painful for us. The questions are painful. But the pain does not change our faith and confidence and acknowledgement that this is the way it's going to be. The word madua means, I have a question, and depending on the answer, either the status quo will be maintained, or there's going to be a whole new regime, a whole new system in place. When the child comes to the Seder and he says, "Ma nishtana halayla zeh mikol halaylos shebechol laylos," if you don't give a child a good answer, it doesn't matter. The derech eretz of the child, the chinuch habanim, has to be, I got a question. I want to understand what it's all about. But you know something, Father? If you don't have a good answer for me, if you don't know how to articulate, if you're not eloquent, you're not smart enough to explain to me why is Pesach different than every night of the year, it's okay. I'm still your child. I'm still observant. I'm still willing to go to yeshiva and learn and figure it out. I want to know answers. Some of Farsh, they say the word mazl means, it's not even a question. It's like, wow, manishta, look how amazing, manishtana. They go to another extreme. I don't have to go there. You don't have to go to say manishtana. They look at it not even as a question. That's not the pashup shot. The pashup shot is there are four questions. And a question demands an answer. They're not four observations. Some want to say they're observations. Not observations, they're questions. But when you ask a question with the word ma, I have a question. I want to know. I'm entitled to know. I'm encouraged to ask the question. But it doesn't change anything. Because emuna is emuna. That's the difference between Korach and Parsha Shlach. Korach didn't have to open his mouth past the word madua. Korach says to Moshe Rabbeinu, madua! Once Moshe Rabbeinu heard the word madua, silent. I don't even want to hear what you're talking about. It's not necessary if you're coming to ask me about why am I wearing this tie and not a red tie, or why are you asking me what I ate for lunch, or why I'm the leader and not you. If you speak to me with the word madua, it's over. You are challenging the DNA, the bread and butter of Klal Yisrael. You're challenging emuna pshuta in your leader and in Klal Yisrael. You have to be swallowed up by the earth right now and here. It's over. Just to say the dirty word, madua, you're challenging me. You want an answer? And if the answer doesn't satisfy your little mind, you're out. You're a threat to the world. You have to go right now into the ground. No delay. When Klal Yisrael come and they're challenging Moshe Rabbeinu about the fundamentals of Yadus, the Avos HaKadoshim who gave us Eretz Yisrael. But you know what they said to Moshe Rabbeinu? V'lama. They were saying to Moshe, you know, what's going on here? We'll still go. The proof is, the Mapilim, they were willing to go. The next minute, they were willing to go. It just bothers us. It's not what we expected. They were expressing frustration. Moshe Rabbeinu had faith in them. He let them send Meraglim. He didn't get us so angry right away. They were the Hashem was not happy that they were not on the level that he wanted them, they should have been on. But they did not reach a lowliness to say to Moshe Rabbeinu, Madua Hashem mevio yisonu el oretz hazois linbol bacheref. They didn't reach that low. You're a little bit upset. Okay, you're upset. You shouldn't be upset. You're lacking emunah, and you're going to suffer. But we're not going to destroy you. We're not going to open up the ground. It's a crime. You should have been on a higher madrega to appreciate, have a moon in an Eretz Yisrael. We got a problem here. But your problem is not a problem that Moshe Rabbeinu feels that the whole Klal Yisrael is disintegrating in front of his eyes. But when Korach says madua, this is a whole different story. Okay, let's go to another idea. Korach has a partner. Who's his partner? Dasan va'aviron. There's a major difference between Korach and Dasan va'aviron. It's almost like the difference between the Republicans and the Democrats. And because of this major difference, I firmly believe that is why they were successful. It was a bipartisan rebellion. Korach, if I was fluent in politics like a Mechol is, if I knew the Mamari Chazal, I would try to show to you that there were four parties. There were four parties at this time. There were the Republicans, the Democrats, I don't know who else. I'm not familiar with all the nuances and the differences. I don't know too much. But we do find here four different groups. I have no doubt that the other two groups represented a certain political agenda, but right now let's not focus on them. There was Korach, he was Team A. Team B was Dasan va'Aviram. Team 3 was Oin ben Peles. And Team 4 was the 250 men. Okay, what the 250 men represented and what Oin ben Peles represented, that's not for now. Let's just look at a major, major difference between Korach and Dasan va'Aviram. these two groups, they are extreme opposites. Mikotze elakotze. Let me explain to you why. There's a medrash. Remember, once upon a time, I think on a Friday, probably we went over this medrash. It's a very amazing medrash. Paro, the day came when he decided he's going to enslave the Jewish people. He made a decision. Soif ma'ase machshava tchila. But it was a secret. It was a very big secret. And before Paro would go out and manipulate the Jewish people and the society to enslave the Jewish people, he wanted to know what they're capable of doing. How much labor could they do a day? So they did it. He did a test. What was the test? He told everyone that he has some construction project and he needs bricks. He needs levainim. It's an emergency. Whatever the story was, can the Jewish community please participate in this project? And everyone should donate, make bricks for our project. It was some humanitarian crisis in Egypt, and Paro solicited the assistance of all of his neighbors and friends, and he said to the politicians, maybe you can go to the Jewish community, to your elected officials, and have the Jewish people also show some hakaras hatov to the country, and they should send over some bricks for our humanitarian project. And the Jewish people were very kind and gracious like they are today, and they responded and they sent in, everyone sent in, they went out to the field, they gathered straw, whatever they did, and they made bricks, and they sent, boy, did they send bricks. And everyone wanted out to the other, and this shul, the Young Israel of Midwood, they sent in 1,000 bricks, and the Young Israel of Flatbush sent in 700 bricks, and the shtiebel around the corner sent in 300 bricks, and the bigger shtiebel, they sent in 1,000, Chaim Berlin sent in 3,000 bricks. Everyone sent in bricks to show their loyalty to the king. Koyach! Koyach! I don't know why. I don't think the Medrash really says why. He decided he's going to send in one brick. One brick. And he comes to the king and he says, you know, I know everyone sent you 500, 300. I wanted my brick to be a quality brick. So I went out and I looked only for the best earth scavenger the whole day. And I made it with my avoid asyad. This is not like the cheap stuff, you know, machine made. This is avodas yad. And before I needed the brick, I said l'shem yichud kodesh brichu. I put in kavanis that this brick should be successful, should be l'chvoid the melech. And I painted it and I wrote your name on it. I beautified it, okay. And I put in a beautiful package, you name it, one brick to show my hakara to the melech. When they come there to the palace, they wrote down Chaim Berlin 3,000, Midwood 500, Flatbush. They write everyone, the shtiebel, they write everyone's down. Koyach, one brick. Paro now, he sees, okay, I see the Jewish people, when they volunteer, the shtiebel can give me 300 bricks a day when they volunteer. Could you imagine if I torture them? How many bricks they can produce? So when he finally got around to manipulating society for the Jewish people, society that everyone has to serve him and everyone has to make bricks, they took out the records. And they said to the Jewish community, you see, remember that day when everyone gave bricks to the king for his project? Now it's not voluntary. Now you're going to do this every single day, and you know what you're going to give? Every shul and community is going to give double of what you gave on that day. If you can give me 500 bricks without being forced, just as a gift, then that means that when push comes to shove and you're tortured, you can for sure produce double. Everyone was going out of their minds. Who was sitting and laughing the whole day when this happened? Koyach! Because Kerach, he only gave Paro one brick. So now he only has to give Paro every day two bricks. That's all he has to do. Easy. Takes him 5 minutes. He goes to davening. After davening, has a l'chaim. Takes some, goes into the kitchen, has a cup of coffee. Takes a piece of cake. He goes home. On the way home, he picks up the newspaper and he picks up some straw on the way home. And he goes home and he puts in some water, he puts in the oven. In 5 minutes, by the time the scrambled eggs are ready, the two bricks are ready. And he goes and he brings the two bricks. So he goes to Mincha. On the way to Mincha, he drops off the two bricks by the palace. He goes to Koil. He doesn't do anything. Problem is the Koil's closed because everyone's making bricks. So Koirach came up with a brilliant idea. Brilliant idea. He knows everyone's working very hard to make bricks. I only have to make two bricks. You know what? I'll also make a lot of bricks. And I'll sell them to people who are tired and want a day off. I only need to make two bricks. I can make a day 500 bricks easy. These poor guys, they're busy. They're not feeling well. They have problems. They have this, they have that. So I'll make the bricks because I only need to make two bricks. And I'll sell my extra bricks. I'll make money off my fellow Jews. What a selfish good for nothing. Korach was such a low life. It's unreal. It's unreal. He made litzanis of Moshe Rabbeinu, chutzpah, and he took advantage of the blood and sweat of his own fellow Jews. He became a multi-billionaire by selling bricks to the poor and destitute, the people who could not keep up and make bricks because he had all the free time, because he was a manipulator. He was a smooth talker. He brought Paro one brick with the L'shem Yichud and a whole ceremony, all this Meshagasim, and now he only has to make two bricks, so he makes 500 bricks and he sells it. And he sold every single day 498 bricks. He made a killing with the slave service of the Jewish people. That was Korach. Now there was Dasan va'Aviron. Who was Dasan va'Aviron? They were Rishoyim. Let's make no mistake about it. But somehow these guys always survive, always reappear, always manage to survive. What's their zchus? Because they were the taskmasters. The Gestapos. The capos. They were the capos. They were Jews. It doesn't work for a guy to torture a Jew. It doesn't work. It's much better when a guy forces another Jew to torture another Jew. So they appointed Dasan va'Aviron. You are in charge to make sure we get the bricks today. What happened when the day came when there were not enough bricks? So Dasan va'Aviron, they said, where are the bricks? So that they couldn't do it. So they said, so bring the people and we're going to beat the daylights out of them for not producing. No, you're not. You'll have to beat me up. And Dasan va'Aviron, despite their riches, their wicked nature, their wickedness, they took the hit for Klal Yisrael. They were willing to take the hit. Beat us! We're not forcing them to make for you more bricks. You got a problem? So beat us up. Too bad for you. Wow. It's not real. The schus that they have, it can't even be masik, such a schus. Chazal say that the yam split for them. They were rishoyim. They tried to manipulate. There shouldn't be a kriyas yamsuf. They lost out. And then when they realized they're losers, oh no, what are we going to do now? So Hashem, that's okay. I'll make just for you a separate Kriyas Yamsuf. Just for you. Wow. Why? They had big schusim. And again, no matter what they did wrong, they always got a green because they had big schusim. Now, could you imagine this rebellion, what's happening over here? Who's rebelling against Moshe Rabbeinu? You have Korach. couldn't be a more selfish person who made his fortune, on the bricks of Klal Yisrael, and Dosan va'aviron, who took the hit and suffered because of the lack of bricks for Klal Yisrael. And they form an alliance to rebel against Moshe Rabbeinu. Is this not called bipartisan? I don't know what is called bipartisan. You're dealing with two extreme elements of society. An element of society that illegally exploited the labor of the poor and weak, versus people who suffered, who actually did suffer. They joined, they were both leaders of their respective people, and they joined together in a common cause to rebel against Moshe Rabbeinu. Wow, that's very lethal. Creates a whole new dynamic. The only thing I want to point out is we're out of time, this last point. Chazal note that there are two things about the opening of the earth that are very important to take note of. Torah talks about opening the earth three times, twice in this parasha and once in Devarim, when Moshe Rabbeinu returns to the story. It says here one time in this parasha, the earth opened up, swallowed them up, and then Vayichas Oisam, and then it says the earth closed. It didn't just, when there was an earthquake today, when there's an earthquake, the earth opens up, it remains open. It doesn't close. It opens, everyone falls in, and that's it. It remains open. No such thing as the earth opening up and then closing like it never happened. This is off the charts. Here it says in the parasha, we almost finished. I'm just about finished. What happens? It says here in the parasha, it says, Vativla oisam vayerdu vatichas aleim ha'aretz. The earth closed. It says that once. Very unique. For the earth to open up and then to close. That's a level of such obliteration. There's not even a zecher that they ever were here. It doesn't say anywhere in the three times that the earth closed on Dosan va'aviram. It says that Dosan va'aviram was swallowed up by the earth. The earth opened up and swallowed. The expression Vatechas aleim ha'aretz is only said about Korach. Is not said about Dosan va'aviram. It says about Korach. V'eis kol ha'adam asher l'Korach. V'eis kol ha'ruchush. The pasuk emphasizes Korach. Vayerdu heim, Korach and his children. V'chol asher lohem chayim sh'oilu v'chas aleihem haretz. Vayov d'mitoch akohol. And then later, when it talks about what happened again later in the parasha, and it mentions later on explicitly, it mentions, Dosan va'aviram. Or was it before? Where does it mention it? It mentions it twice again, and there it does mention Dosan va'aviram, and there these words are absent. Why? The punishment was not the same. It was not the same. Korach was a selfish, wicked person. He took advantage. His punishment was, well, it's amazing how wicked he was. He took advantage against the Jewish people with the bricks. He spoke to Moshe with chutzpah. He said the word madua. Who joined the bandwagon? Dosan va'aviron. But they were not punished to the same degree like Korach. Only Korach and his followers, his people, Korach and those that he really represented, does it say the earth, after it swallowed them, it covered them, it closed, it returned back to the way it was, which represents an obliteration to an extreme. Whereas, Dosan va'aviram, they were shoyim, they got what they deserved, but not to the same extent. because they suffered for Klal Yisrael. And that was a limud schus which took away a little bit from their punishment. All right, we're out of time, everybody. So I have a wonderful Shabbos, and I have a Shabbos of the opposite of Karach, of Shalom, peace on Klal Yisrael. Be well.
Shabbos, thank you.
Have a Shabbos, everyone.
Shabbos, Mark. I'm agreed with the Zeus can open up 50% occupancy now.
50%. Moshels and Flappers don't even have 50% of occupancy.
I know, but right now, that's what today came out. The judge signed, agreed with the lawsuit for the CRO. Because of the protests? Now they could do 50%, and there's no limit, I think, on the outside.
And sleepaway camps? What's so with sleepaway camps?
Oh, that's next week. That's Tuesday.
No. Things are really bad now.
Sleepaway camp will be Tuesday.
Now they found out what the camps were planning to do. Somebody obviously snitched. And they're cracking down in New York State.
No, but Tuesday is the hearing for the TRO.
I'm saying there were all kinds of things.
But that's to make it legal. If the judge rules Tuesday that it's okay, that the TRO is okay, then the camps will open up.
Right now it's up in the air.
Right.
Well, I have to see if camps opened up.
No.